Turn to Psalm 131 in your Bibles, and it's page 519 in the Pew Bible, Psalm 131. This psalm will form, by God's grace, the text for our sermon this afternoon. Psalm 131. Hear then the word of the Lord, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. This is God's word. The title of our sermon this afternoon, our Covenant Community Climbing Crew. That's a bit of a mouthful. I'll say it again. Our Covenant Community Climbing Crew. So, congregation of our Lord and Savior, let me ask you this afternoon, what is your altitude? Oh, we had a bit of a quiz on the way here in the car, and I said to the children in the car, what's the altitude of Hornby? 25. Well, thereabouts, mean sea level. About 25 metres. What's your spiritual altitude this afternoon? That's really the question I want to ask. Your spiritual altitude. If one is spiritually dry and far from God, and 10 is enveloped in the joy and the peace of the Lord, what number would you rate yourself at this afternoon? Rhetorical question, please don't reply. Probably for most of us, I think we're probably somewhere in between, if we were honest with ourselves and with the Lord. Interesting that when you're thinking about altitude, that in the scriptures, Jerusalem is always up. Always up. It's 750 meters in the Judean Heights. We have the city of David that is set up high, and we have these songs of ascent that the people, the pilgrims, would sing as they went up, traveling to Mount Zion. A journey as they traveled up to Jerusalem of increasing altitude, of elevation, of expansive views that would open up as they climbed up to Mount Zion. Psalm 131 this afternoon is teaching us, and I, by God's grace, will teach us some steps to gaining spiritual altitude in Christ Jesus. 3 points this afternoon, a humble ascent, that's the first point, a trusting ascent, and finally, a hopeful ascent. Firstly, a humble ascent. I think one of the most interesting mountains that I've ever climbed is by far not the biggest. It's Mount Uluru in the outback. And if any of you have climbed Uluru, it's an amazing piece of topography because you put your foot on the bottom of Mount Uluru as it protrudes from the ground, and you put your foot on this rock, and it's the same rock all the way up. Amazing. So often, though, with the scriptures, it seems like they're back to front. It seems like up is actually down. James writes, James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And that's exactly what we see in verse 1 of this psalm, if you look at it closely with me in your Bibles. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy with myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Here David is speaking to his God. This is the God, the covenant God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the maker of heaven and earth. And David is praying to the God whom we are worshipping now as we have gathered this afternoon. He's praying to the God who knows him completely. He writes that Psalm 139 that we know well. You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my thoughts from afar. David is in the psalm that we're looking at this afternoon, humbly denying pride. And that's a risky undertaking, isn't it? Because it's so easy to be proud of our professed humility. Congregation, you want to know about humility? Come to me, I can tell you about it. It's a danger, isn't it? But David is writing about his professed humility. This is the adulterer. This is the murderer. David, who is writing. Is he like the self-righteous Pharisee that Jesus talks about in Luke 18? You know the way the Pharisee was standing and praying to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like this, not these other people, these swindlers, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and pay tithes of all I get. Is David being like this? No, this is a display of heartfelt humility where pride is denied three times. In the heart, the center of our being and the root location of pride, my heart is not lifted up. In the eyes of a principal expression of pride, the haughty look, my eyes are not elevated there, they're lowered, he says. In the mind, aware of the limitations of finite creatureliness, the distortion to the mind that sin brings, David says, I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I preached this morning in our own congregation from chapter in Exodus and spoke about providence, the wonderful work of God's providence. I can't explain how it works. It's too high for me. It's too lofty. And David is saying, these things are too great for me. Pride in a person such as you or myself reduces our spiritual altitude, whereas humility gains spiritual altitude. God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. Paul David Tripp has written about people like you and me. You and I tend to think we are wiser and more sanctified than we actually are. That's why we get defensive when someone points out our sin and weakness. You had that experience. It feels like we're being misjudged. Isn't it pride that actually stops so many people coming to Jesus? When we proclaim the gospel to them, so often it's just pride. My father, at 96 years old, will still not come to the Lord, even though we have had many conversations. And I believe the main reason is he can't bear the thought that he's been wrong all his life. Pride. Pride is that which prevents people from overcoming their sin, which entangles them in their lives because they won't bring themselves to admit it because the pride that is in their hearts prevents them from seeing what is so obvious to so many others. And it is pride that so often prevents us from growing in the Lord because we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Pride lives and breathes in a fallen world around us all, and it lives and breathes in churches such as our own. In our Reformed churches where we can so easily have this pride about our heritage. Celebrate Reformation Day tomorrow, 499 years. We celebrate and rejoice in the recovery of truth that the church was blessed with at that time, and that's a good thing. But it's so easy for that to shift and translate into pride, theological, doctrinal pride. Jonathan Edwards wrote about the subtle arrogance of pride. In this way, he said, spiritual pride is very apt to suspect others, whereas a humble saint is most jealous of himself. He is so suspicious of nothing in the world as he is of his own heart. He doesn't trust his own heart. He would seek counsel from others to be shown the way because he doesn't trust that restless, deceitful, wicked thing that is still yet fallen within him. The spiritually proud person is apt to find fault with other saints, and to be quick to discern and denote their deficiencies. But the eminently humble Christian, Jonathan Edwards writes, has so much to do at home in his own heart. He sees so much evil there. He is so concerned about that he's not apt to be so very busy with other people. So true, isn't it? So wise. Have you noticed how often and how readily other people will spot the faults in others so quickly and readily and yet be blind to their own? David is not being proud here in his self-assessment. He is expressing humility. He's expressing the mind of the humble man before God. It's not anti-intellectual. It's not against an increasing of knowledge and wisdom. Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians 14, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking." Paul is saying, don't be anti-intellectual. Don't not exercise your mind. "Yet be evil, in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." Faith, humbly seeking comprehension in Christ through Bible study, through catechism, through personal study, is a good and necessary and helpful matter. The humble Christian says, in the situation in which I find myself today, whatever that is, what is the Lord teaching me? How can I yield to His work? Can you say this afternoon, along with the psalmist David, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." True humility, congregation, is one of the keys to gaining spiritual altitude in Christ. Down is up. Down is up. That's the truth. Second point, a trusting ascent. One of my favorite photographs, family photographs that I have, is a photograph of my daughter Zipporah when she was 6 years old at the top of Mount Ropehu. We climbed it together and she achieved that. It's not so very easy to climb a high mountain when you're a little child. So often the scriptures seem back to front. Weak is strong. That's what we see in verse 2. "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." In Hebrew culture, a child was generally weaned at about 3 years old. So David is saying, I'm not like an unweaned child, easily disturbed by hunger. I'm not like an adult who is often preoccupied with the cares and concerns of the world, but I'm like a weaned child. I'm like a 2 or 3 year old toddler who's been carried or walking close beside a parent, a mother's side. Someone who's not strong in themselves, you see, but is with someone who is strong and able and capable and caring. It's an image of calm trust which stills the soul. It's a picture of trust and contentment in the heart of a child. It's a picture of the protective strength and provision of a mother, and it's a reflection of God's comforting care. For example, we see that in Isaiah 46, 3 through 4. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I extend peace to her like a river to my people, and to the glory of nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed," God writes, "and you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." God uses that imagery of caring for a young child in the way in which he cares for his people, his covenant people. It is by grace that God draws us close and intimate fellowship with himself, not some distant father, not some God, as the Muslim would say, who has no involvement, but God the Father, Abba. Increasing trust in the Lord, this caring and loving God, gains spiritual altitude in Christ. Once heard of a seminary professor, a very well-known seminary professor who'd written much in terms of literature. He was asked for the greatest, most profound theological truth. Perhaps you might think he would come up with the Trinity or infralapsarianism or the incarnation or resurrection, perhaps some aspect of eschatology. But he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Amazing, isn't it? How all the complexities and profound revelations of Scripture, and yet something like that is so true and touches us so deeply. "Little ones to him belong." How does it go? "They are weak, but he is strong." That's what David's writing about. The simple trust of a little child. As he said to his disciples when it looks like they were starting to squabble or at least disagree about who might be the greatest, he says, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless your heart becomes like the heart of a child in trust. Then you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Once heard of a story of a man who entered a room where there was a little blind girl, and she was sitting on her father's knee, this little blind girl. And one of the father's arms was clasping her tightly. Without saying a word or making a sign, the man who'd come in stepped up quietly, unclasped the father's arm from the blind girl, and lifted the child away. And as this man took her out of the room, her father said, "Louise," that was her name, "Louise, are you not afraid? You don't know who has you." The child answered at once, "No, I don't know who has me, but I'm not afraid, for I know that you know." Trust your heavenly Father, congregation, like a blind child, for he knows. The Lord is in control, and if you are in the Lord this afternoon, Christ is on the throne of your heart. And blind though we may be to what life has in store for us and the difficulties of situations we find ourselves in, Christ has us. The Lord protects us. You have that image, of course, or rather that story in the scriptures, the account, the historical account of Peter. And he sees Jesus walking towards him on the water. "Lord, if it is you," he says, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come," and Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water towards Jesus. But when he sees the wind and the waves, he's afraid, and he begins to sink and cries, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you stop trusting me like a little child? If you had, you wouldn't have sunk down." Congregation, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. The weak trust in the strong to carry them through. The weak trust in the strong, and that's what we're called to do with the Lord. The trusting child of God walks closely with Christ and depends on him to guide the way, because Christ our Savior, our Lord, is strong. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I know my weakness, then I need to be close to my Lord, for in him I find my strength." Can you say this afternoon, "I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me"? This congregation is one of the ways to gain spiritual altitude. So often the scriptures seem back to front. Up is down and weak is strong. The humble gain spiritual altitude. The trusting gain spiritual altitude. But as they do so, they're not alone. And that brings us to our third and final point, a humble ascent. When you're climbing, it's possible to gain physical altitude by yourself. I remember the 20th of August 1980 when Reinhold Messner stood atop the highest mountain in the world, Everest. He'd been there before, but this time he climbed alone without supplementary oxygen. He chose the northeast ridge where he crossed over and became the first man to climb through this steep gorge to the summit. But the reality is that significant spiritual altitude is seldom, if ever, gained individually. So often the scriptures seem back to front. The closest personal relationship with God is found through collective Christian community. Have you ever thought about that? Profound truth. That's what David is writing about in verse 3. "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." This pilgrim is not climbing alone to Jerusalem, you see. He's part of this group, this body, this corporate. He's leading the people as this king. He's saying, "Follow me in my humble trust. Humble yourself with me. Trust with me. Climb with me as we ascend to the hill of the Lord." And David had learned humility through his repentance. Psalm 32, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long." He'd learned trust through being granted forgiveness by God. "When I confessed my transgressions to the Lord, you forgave my guilt and my sin. You see, David had hope because God had forgiven him. God had made a covenant promise to King David. He'd said, and you know this well in 2 Samuel 7, he'd said to David, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. King David's hope, you see, was not in himself, but in a king who was yet to come. A king who had been promised, who would sit on the throne forever. And so David is leading the people of God, as it were, as they were ascending. He's saying, cope with me. Follow me in the upward journey as we climb together. And so just as Israel was called to hope in the Lord, so we this afternoon again are called to hope in Christ Jesus, our great King who provides and protects for us. Just as the pilgrims in those days would sing the Psalms of Ascent as they rose in physical altitude to the lofty heights of Jerusalem, so we are to humbly trust and hope in Christ as we journey through this life towards that celestial city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Increasing hope in the Lord gains spiritual altitude. Increasing hope in the Lord gains spiritual altitude. And we together as a church, as a covenant community, are moving and traveling together. And we share one hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are a covenant community climbing crew. You ever thought of the church that way before? Covenant community climbing crew. We climb together in humility as a church and gain spiritual altitude. It's true. We climb together in trust as a church and gain spiritual altitude. And we climb together in hope as a church and gain that altitude in the Lord. Is your hope in the Lord today? Perhaps a better question is, our hope in the Lord today as the Reformed Church of Dovedale? As we climb together. Can we say together, our hope is in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. As we share together in this living hope, we will climb to greater altitude spiritually as a congregation. It's a wonderful truth. But wait, you might say, I'm low today. My spiritual altitude is probably close to that low point you mentioned. If you plotted my spiritual height on some kind of topographical map, well, I'd be below sea level. I'd be like the psalmist in Psalm 46, all your waves and your breakers have swept over me. Or Psalm 88, you've overwhelmed me with all your waves. You ask, what should I do in this situation? I feel like I'm drowning. If you were in that situation this afternoon, or if in the future you find yourself in that situation, or if you're in a situation and circumstance in life when you can talk to somebody else who is that sense of drowning and floundering, may I gently recommend to you the benefit of following the pattern of this psalm. Humbling yourself. Lord, I am struggling. Help me. Psalm 86, hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Trust in Christ, secondly. I can't do this. I tell myself that as a minister quite frequently. But I believe you can. And my strength is in you. And my weakness is perfected by your strength. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And I am helped, Psalm 28. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him. Isn't it so much more wonderful when you see the Lord's strength doing something in your life than it could ever be if you were leaning on your own meager abilities. Humble yourself, trust in Christ, and share your burdens with others in the covenant community. Confess the belief that, God, I believe that you've blessed me with the Reformed Church of Dovedale to help me keep climbing, to pick me up when I stumble and slip and fall, that you've gathered me into this church that I might carry others' burdens and have my burdens carried and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are people in this congregation who share together with me a living hope in Christ Jesus, the great King who provides and protects, and they are helping me by your grace to climb. And I remember that 2,000 odd years ago, Jesus Christ climbed to Calvary. And did he not climb in humility as one who made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant? And did he not trusting that if he did the Lord's will, he would be blessed, even when it hurt him? And climbing in hope for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And he climbed all the way to Calvary so that you and I could humble ourselves before God and be lifted up by his righteousness. He climbed all the way to Calvary so that you and I could trust in God for what Christ has done for us. And he went all the way to Calvary so that we could hope in God that he would fulfill the promises that he has made of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth forever because of what Christ has done. Brothers and sisters, we are strangers and aliens on this earth, and we are climbing together as a church in humble, Christ-like trust on this narrow road that winds ever upwards to our coming heavenly home, the celestial city. We are a covenant community climbing crew, otherwise known as the Reformed Church of Dovedale. Amen.